Welcome to Vibe Talk Music. I'm your host, Vibe Queen. In this season, we will get vulnerable with a variety of guests discussing their journey through self-awareness and how we can level up the collective consciousness in the music industry. So let's vibe and talk music. This episode is brought to you by Artist Collective, guiding artists and entrepreneurs through the music industry. Learn more and join for free today at artistcollect.com and get back to the music. In this episode, I talk to hip-hop artist Twain. With a career that spans over 18 years, we discuss his beginnings and how music has made an impact on our culture. He shares useful self-love tools and gets vulnerable on how he believes we can cultivate lasting change. Here is our conversation. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Welcome to Vibe Talk Music.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, episodes, we'd like to dive right into the conversation. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and just what got you into music and what your connection is to the arts?
Well, this year is my 18th year in music as an independent hip-hop artist. Growing up, I always loved music. I grew up in Chicago. I was born in Chicago. I'm from Joliet, Illinois. I grew up listening to great music and being around it. Later on, down the line, I kind of fell into becoming a hip-hop artist and playing around with writing my own raps and songs. And I got real serious about performing and recording. Just learned and found myself as an artist, being able to find my voice and just find ways to express myself and whatever wrinkle I had and perspective I had on life. And I found a way to showcase that through my art and, you know, inspire other people or entertain them or get some therapy for whatever I was dealing with, and fearlessly put it all in my music.
Wonderful. And who inspired you to make music? Was this something that you grew up with, like within your household? Was your family really into the music scene growing up? Or was this something that you discovered later on in life?
Well, I can't really say it was anyone I was around, like in my family or anything like that, as far as them being musical or musicians or anything like that. I definitely was inspired by the hip hop culture and just the energy around it. I was always a pretty bright kid. Really good with words and writing, so it was like a natural transition when I got serious about it. But it was really just the guys on my block in Chicago. They kind of would play around with it, and they would urge me to join in with them, and I kind of rolled that momentum into doing this for real.
Gotcha. And was there like a pivotal moment where you recognized, like, okay, this is what I'm really going to do. This is not a hobby anymore. I'm going to make this my full-time career. Was there a moment that you remembered that this was time for you to really step into it for real?
I always say like right after high school, because I was secretly, during high school, just kind of secretly working on my craft. Right after that is when I said I really want to put my best foot forward and try to be an artist, because I really just leveled up. So yeah, that was the turning point right after that. Just, I could hear my progress and all my guys around me, they was like, you're getting really good at it. I mean, I'm not at a space even still, I'm still an independent artist. I have to have multiple hustles, you know? So it's still not where I would want it to be as far as me touring the globe like I want and doing it like that. But I have been able to make a viable music career where it's definitely a business to it. And I also have the art side as well.
Fantastic. And what would you say is the biggest change you've seen since starting in the business? Because you said 18 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I know hip hop, just as the sound itself has changed so much. I know for me growing up, the sound that I used to hear compared to what it is today, it's like night and day. And it's not necessarily, you know, good or bad.
Right.
You know, I appreciate certain sounds for what it is, but I'd love to hear in your opinion, what has changed for you?
That was well said. Yeah, it has changed a lot. I think what I find the most interesting and what I really respect is just like the technology and how the barrier of entry is so low now, you know, and this current generation, they're really artistic and expressive, and they're able to jump right in with the technology and do multiple things and wear multiple hats. I really find that really cool how somebody could be an artist and they probably do their own visuals and shoot and edit them, and then they probably compose their own music and record themselves, and then they mix it too. So people wear multiple hats, whereas I remember when I started, you know, you were the artist, and then you needed an engineer, and then you needed a producer, and then if you wanted to produce your own visuals, you had to find somebody that had cameras and knew what they were doing, and so on and so forth. And then, you know, how are you going to manufacture the music and put it and distribute it? Now that now you have so many options with that, so I find all that really amazing.
Wow, yeah, that's I've never even really thought about that. It's very true. If you had to convey your music to your audience with one message, what would it be?
Honesty. It would be honesty. Yeah, it would be honesty. I mean, I try to find, you know, I try to find ways for the life and lifestyle that I'm living. If I find any overlap in stories that have been told, I try to find new angles to approach it, or I try to find observations that I make in life that other people may, you know, bear witness to too, but they haven't written about them. So I try to tackle those in my music. So I just try to find creative ways to be honest and give the listener a fresh take on just life itself, or maybe something they've heard before, but just from a different vantage point.
Gotcha. So I'm curious to hear your take on this, because I recently took a songwriting class, and, you know, part of the class, I kind of came to the conclusion that I feel like I'm the type of artist that can only write from my own experience. And, you know, something that, you know, my teacher had mentioned and other artists on the, in the class had mentioned, because they wanted to just be a songwriter, they weren't even a singer, you know, they mentioned that, you know, that could be a business in and of itself. Yeah. So kind of limiting yourself to just your own experiences, you know, if you're a good writer, why not put yourself in other people's shoes? And I just never really thought about it like that. And I just thought that was really, really interesting. Mm. So when you say your music has a sense of honesty, and you don't have to answer this if you don't feel comfortable, but as a rapper, do you ever, you know, talk about things that you did not experience, even though it is an honest observation? Or do you keep everything to your own narrative?
I keep everything to my own narrative. I was at that fork in the road you're talking about some years ago, and I made the choice to keep it strictly autobiographical, but there's no rules with songwriting. That's what's really cool about hip hop. I think we're the most poetic genre, and we, you know, there have been songs written from the perspective of a prison cell, the perspective of a handgun, you know, people have been fetuses in a body, you know, that's just inside of hip hop, let alone like other genres as well. So there's really no rules. It's all just what resonates. I purposely made the choice to keep the first person narrative going. But I mean, even though I made that choice, I won't limit myself. I'll write about whatever I want to write about. But I love the challenge of telling my story, and it just makes for a smoother transition. I just did a recent interview where I said I love the process of living life. Then I take my experience and put that in the music. And I love repeating that, because the more I grow as a person, the more I can bring back to the art. So that's what works for me. Everybody's different. Some people kind of shy away from personal experiences, and they take on characters or other vantage points, perspectives in the music. So I don't think there's any rules. It's whatever works for the writer.
True. I guess here's my caveat. And maybe this can be a discussion, but I feel like as long as there's a disclaimer, then it's cool.
Right.
So kind of like, you know, if it's understood, like, for example, like when it comes to WWE wrestling, right? For the long time, we thought it was right. Real. I know growing up, I thought it was real. And then, you know, rumors came about that it was staged, it was fake. And now it's kind of just understood that it's staged, but we still enjoy it. We still like it. We still support it. It's entertainment, right? So I feel like as long as we know what we're getting ourselves into, then it's cool. But I think sometimes, and you know, I kind of want to get your opinion with some of the rappers and some of the things that we see, they don't give that disclaimer. And then you have those kids that are, you know, naive and young, and they think that's the way of life. And they're chasing that clout, and they're chasing that lifestyle that's not realistic. And what they don't realize, and I saw this video that a lady who follows me sent me, and I watched it, and I was just in awe. And maybe I'll share it onto Vibe Talk Music, because it was really impactful. It didn't really apply to me, but it was impactful. It was a funeral director. He was African-American, and he's based out of New Jersey. And he's sitting in his, lab, if you will, in front of a casket. And he's just given the raw truth. And he's, like, given his perspective and basically saying, like, to the youth, this is my point of view. I see you dead in a casket because you're chasing clout, because you're listening to these rap music and these musicians, and you're trying to live up to this hype that isn't real. You know, where are your homes when you're in this casket, when your mom's trying to afford me so I can bury you? He's just going on this tangent. And I'm just sitting here like, oh my God. And then this man, okay, goes and says, we don't talk about the shady side of the business when it comes to funerals, where we sell your organs on the black market. Not that, not him, but in the hospitals, which, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about it. But he basically said that, you know, there is a dark side to this where they literally will sell your body parts for money.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they don't know about this. And here you're trying to bury your child, you know. So he's just going on this tangent. And I'm watching this like, wow, this is crazy. And I just had no idea. Like, I always kind of knew, you know, people are influenced by celebrities and you see that lifestyle, but I just didn't, it didn't really dawn on me how impactful that is. So I don't know. I just thought that was really, really important to share.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately having a disclaimer, like, okay, this is my persona, you know, this is not who I actually am, can be so important for our youth so they don't fall into that trap. So I'm curious to hear your point of view on that and maybe what it was like growing up in Chicago and idolizing these people in hip hop and what your experience is.
Yeah, I got it. I got all of that. That's tricky. Just, I mean, there's so much responsibility to go around and all of that, you know, like, number one, I always say that, you know, art shouldn't be censored, you know, and we can't, it's tough because as a black man myself, and now that I'm getting a little older and mature, and now I got kids of my own. I have two boys, you know, so I can't turn a blind eye to how real that is. But there's also a responsibility to art. Like, art shouldn't be censored, and we can't make special rules for the preferred black genre of music, and then every other forms of entertainment and art, we let that run willy-nilly. You know, me personally, I would want to see that same level of censorship placed across the board, but I know that's a little unrealistic, and you know, that probably won't happen. But I mean, yeah, you know, it's gonna all, when anytime we talking about kids, it's always gonna be about how they're being raised, who they're around, what type of figures they have in their life, you know, especially little black boys and young black men, fathers, father figures, just big brothers, uncles, you know, older friends, you know, because it's important that it be older. I had an older brother. I had people in my life, you know, I didn't have the most perfect life, but I still had people that would grab me if I was going a little too far. You know, I stuck my toe in some things. You know, I'm not squeaky clean, but I never dove all the way in. And because I had people that I would disappoint, or, you know, that stopped me from diving all the way in those things. So we'll never be able to run from that responsibility. Yes, all these artists have to share that responsibility a little bit, but not so much so where we can't look at how kids are being raised, because that's what's important. This is a business. This is entertainment through and through. They're gonna always sign artists and put money behind them and broadcast them to the world that may not have the best messages if that's what sells. the demand is always going to be supply. So if anything, as a culture, we have to change what the demand is, and then that won't be supplied no more. So if we demand more positive things, the trends will swing that way. But as long as, you know, the bottom of the barrel or whatever you want to call it, type of art is being demanded, that's going to be supply. And, you know, these kids are impressionable. And for some people, it's not necessarily, you know, you brought up the WWE thing. For some people, it's very real. It's just by the time it gets to the marketplace, it's an exaggerated version of it, so it would sell. So it's a tough one for me. I definitely agree with that side of it, because I don't want to see any of these kids, you know, negatively influenced. You know, I want everybody to be their best. I know realistically with the world we live in, I don't know how likely that'll be, you know, that everybody will make it to the finish line, but it's just tough trying to, because I definitely know how the business works, at least from a entertainment, business, branding side. You know, they're going to brand things, and they're only worried about the bottom line. So, and they always hide, you know, I'm going to call them out. They always hide when these conversations come up. We never see those guys backing all of this stuff ever come to the forefront. We don't even see the heads of movie studios come to the front and answer for the type of movies they make. So, you know, all we could do is try to reach these kids as early as possible. And it's on the culture. If we demand better, they'll supply better. And
I love that. I love that. I'm going to use that quote. We demand better, right? We can supply better. I absolutely love that. That is so true. And that's why these conversations are so important, because you saw how upset I got. Yeah. I'm like, what is happening? Yeah, you know, that's my nature. And then I want to cause a revolution. But you're very right. We have to go even deeper. And that's, you know, the whole purpose of Vibe Talk Music. And I love that you gave me that perspective. I really, really do. And I appreciate you right now, because you said, let's go deeper. It goes back to the parenting. It goes back to the environment. Who are your kids around? Are you talking to your kids? Are you having dinner with your kids? You know, who are your kids friends with? Right? What are they watching? What are they consuming? Mm-hmm. It starts with that. You're so right. You know, and you're raising two boys. So obviously you're implementing that right now. So I think that's so wonderful. And then that next generation of artists and creatives can be that supply to change the demand. So I absolutely love that. So I want to switch gears a little bit. In season one, you know, we talk a lot about self-awareness and vulnerability. So I definitely want to pick your brain, especially as a guy. Do you do anything to kind of keep yourself in a space of mental wellness and positivity? Do you have any routines you can share with our male audience in particular that you do to kind of keep yourself
absolutely
centered?
I mean, I go to talk therapy. I see a therapist. We know there's been a lot of talk around that, as far as how, you know, how people perceive that, especially Black men, you know, and how safe that is. You know, I know it works for me, and I know everybody's different, but what's important is, you know, you could try it just to see if it works for you. What's important is people have a safe space to talk about what they're dealing with, or somebody or some constructive outlet for what they may be dealing with. But me personally, I have a carefully curated circle of friends and family. I see a therapist monthly. I just go monthly. So I make sure that I have somewhere that I could go and speak freely, free of judgment. I could download whatever I'm dealing with, get some real feedback, because that's important, being able to be held accountable too. So that's what works for me. And, you know, just the little things, like enjoying the little things in life, that helps me too. Just really like taking life down to the most common denominator. That could just be simple, something as simple as enjoying some time alone, or just having my favorite meal, or just doing all the little favorite things that I like, instead of getting caught up in the stress in life and everything seems so daunting. Or how am I going to do this? And how am I going to do that? And not being present, not staying in the moment, looking at the calendar. Oh, what am I going to do? You know, that sort of thing. I try to catch that or head that off. And sometimes I just got to focus on the little things that helps too. Because I think sometimes we get so big picture that we don't look at what's right in front of us and just enjoy the moment and stay present. And it's not easy. I mean, I have to constantly stay on myself about that, just staying present. Right now, I'm talking to you on Vibe Talk Music. That's the only thing that matters right now. I'm right here. My mind doesn't need to be anywhere else. You know, when we finish, then I can resume life. Just that's huge, just staying centered and staying in the moment and not getting ahead of ourselves. So those are a couple things.
Absolutely. Love that. Thank you for sharing. Now, has that mindset always been with you? Has wellness always been a part of your life and seeing a therapist? Were you always open-minded, or did somebody introduce that to you, or how did that kind of segue into your lifestyle?
Yeah, I guess subconsciously it was. Our mom, you know, my mom, she's in recovery. So when she was raising me and my siblings, it was a lot of that language around. Like, for example, she always taught us that our feelings are valid, you know? So I knew that growing up, especially coming into adulthood. And then it helped me on the other side when I get too deep into what I feel or my point of view and I'm not giving space to other people's. I have to remember, like, wait a minute, their feelings are valid too, you know? Like, just because my feelings are valid doesn't invalidate anyone else's. So that's just like one example. But her being so open with us about what she was going through and what she was learning kind of like ran in the background like a program with me. And then, you know, as I found my way and came of age, I kind of gravitated toward some of this. And now in my life, I'm all in. Like, you know, I'm always, you know, seeking best practices. And, you know, I've definitely made this a lifestyle. Like, I'm trying to heal and, you know, self-improve and be the best I could be. One new thing I learned is self-compassion. That's huge. Just having compassion for yourself. That's a game changer right there. You know, mm-hmm. So I've been implementing that over the last few months, and that's not even easy. That was just a foreign concept when I learned that to me, but that really changed the game for me and was a turning point. So, you know, anybody listening to me right now, look into that. And if you're not familiar with that, self-compassion is key. So yeah, it all started probably with my mom, and just probably my personality anyway, because I'm a lot more open than the average bear. but later in life, I learned that is really the key. Like, you know, this lifestyle is the key. It's going to help with how we deal with ourselves and how we interface with others.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think for me, that was a big turning point as mm-hmm. well, having self-compassion. And, you know, maybe for you, it's too cool, but self-compassion for me, the biggest part of that was my self-talk. So I would always be very negative towards myself and not even realize that that was making an impact. So if I made a mistake, little things like, oh, you're so stupid. Yeah. Oh, you're always forgetting stuff. You know, like just little things like that. And they're very minute. They're small. It's not like I'm shredding myself to pieces, you know. But if you're constantly doing that, it's reaffirming a negative thing. So just being kind to yourself and saying, hey, it's okay. Sometimes I'm a little forgetful, but it's all right. You know, just like having self-compassion and patience with yourself. And it takes a level of awareness to be able to catch yourself when you're doing that. So, So I don't know if that's what you meant, but for me, implementing that and being very aware when I do say something negative towards myself has really helped. And for me, the number one thing, which was an insecurity of mine, was when I would record myself and there was a visual. I always assumed it was really, really bad. And I would just put so much negative self-talk. And I'm like, okay, wait, how can I turn this around? And the moment I started to do so, I became more confident and I was able to then implement that into action. So, you know, being able to turn that around, you'll see that then turn up. You'll see that improvement show up in your life as well. So, yeah, it's very powerful. So before we wrap up, what can you share is next with your career? We are still currently in a pandemic, shelter in place, and we're annoying. So I know live shows are probably going to be on hold for quite some time. So can you talk a little bit about some ways you've had to pivot, or if you've just kind of taken a break, or
Well, yeah,
what you're up to
my
now?
new album is called Central Standard Time. It dropped at the very end of February, and then this happened, like literally right after. I had to cancel a huge show I had planned a few weeks later, celebrating my career in music. So I've been real creative in the meantime, just trying to still promote the new music because it's been a while since I had a project out. I'm not an artist that releases a lot of music like that. But I've just been real creative with the social distancing and everything going on. I just put out some, like I made some videos explaining some lyrics to my songs, Genius Style. So, that was cool. We put that out. I also did a photo shoot just to have some new fresh photos out there because we live in a very visual time. So I dropped some new photos again. That didn't take much. These are all just was easy things to do that didn't take a lot of people and I don't have to worry about, the pandemic affecting it. And Friday, I just dropped the merchandise bundle for Central Standard Time. So I spent a lot of this time working on that. So I'm glad I finally got that to market. So yeah, please, everybody, check that out. We're doing a limited run of that. But yeah, I mean, we do have a show coming up in September here in the Twin Cities in St. Paul. I'm not going to officially release details until I monitor what's going on, but it's going to be extremely intimate anyway, and that's a good thing, but that could also be a bad thing if we still have to really social distance by then and the numbers aren't looking good. So, I mean, I'm comfortable saying that much, but if everything's looking good by the middle of the summer, I'll go ahead and release all the details and the posters and flyers and all that good stuff. And but if not, we'll have to probably nix that too. But I'll stay positive and optimistic.
Excellent. So, as we wrap up, I always end with this question. Any words of wisdom you want to share
Any
with our
words of
audience before
wisdom?
we sign off?
Based on the conversation we just had, I would just say love yourself. Always.
I love that. Gotta love yourself first. So true. Let everybody know where they can follow you and how
At
they can best
Twain Lo
support you.
on everything. That's TWAINLO. Just follow me on all social media at Twain Lo, except Snapchat. My new album, Twain Central Standard Time. Just you could Google Twain Central Standard Time or type in Twain Central Standard Time or just wherever you like to listen to your music, all the DSPs, the albums on there. And that's pretty much it. I mean, I got the Central Standard Time merch bundle out now. The best way to support me is check out the music or check out any of the other content. I'm on YouTube as well. If you like what you hear, simply tell somebody about it. Come shop with me. Other than that, just be good to humanity and be good to your fellow neighbor. I'll take that as some support too, because I'm more worried about the world than just little old me, I'm more worried about the universe than just little old me. But yeah, me and my family would definitely appreciate supporting my music. So that's it.
Love it. Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on, and I'm sure we'll definitely
All
stay
right,
in
you too.
touch.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Vibe Talk Music. I'm your host, Vibe Queen. In this season, we will get vulnerable with a variety of guests discussing their journey to self-awareness and how we can level up the collective consciousness in the music industry. So let's vibe and talk music. This episode is brought to you by Artist Collective, guiding artists and entrepreneurs through the music industry. Learn more and join for free today at artistcollect.com and get back to the music. In this episode, I talked to Rachel Goodman, a classically trained vocalist and pianist who hopes to create a community of creativity and purpose through her music. She shares her journey with anxiety and how she is able to stay motivated. Here is our conversation.